Hello, good morning to everybody. Thank you very much for your invitation and the possibility to speak about what God is doing in Portugal. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to speak this morning about just the country, and then in the evening I will speak about the work in Sines and in a church, the Evangelical Church in Sines. Many of you don't know the situation of Portugal in means of Christianity. Portugal is a country with a history of fascism. As the Spanish had Franco, we had Salazar. So in 74, we had our revolution. It was a peaceful revolution, but brought us to more freedom. Freedom that didn't change what happened, what was before, the condition, the religion condition in the country. It got a little worse. Portugal is a Roman Catholic country. It's the main religion. It's the people's religion. It's also a country that lives by that. There is a strong community between the church and the state. So everybody that was born before the 80s, everybody was considered to be Roman Catholic. I was baptized in a Roman church. My parents were baptized in a Roman church. If someone asked what religion you had, it was Roman Catholic. But with freedom coming, the doors were open to other groups, religious groups, to come to our country. And what we can tell is that a lot have changed, but the country still needs the gospel. What happened? Cults start to come to our country. Churches of prosperity gospel too, and the gospel, the true gospel, it's not preached in many places in Portugal. We are 10 million people in our country. Most of them live near the coast. Inland we have more or less 2 million people living. These 2 million people, some in the north of Portugal, very strong in Roman Catholicism. There is some village you are unable to go there and do the preaching of the gospel. And in the south of Portugal, it's called Alentejo. Our dear friend was there in Alentejo. I don't know if you know, but Portugal still have a communist party in our country. In our parliaments, we have people from the communism. So, Alentejo, it's new by a very strong communist part of the country. For example, my council, where we live, our mayor, it was 25 years, was communist. If you go to another town, in another town, they are communists. So we are dealing with this kind of people that they don't have any religion. They don't want to hear about God in Alentejo. Just for you to know, near Sines, there is a town called Santiago de Cacém that is bigger than Sines and then has small village, and no one can establish a church there. They tried through the years. It has become very difficult. Is God doing something in Portugal? I can tell you that God is changing the hearts of many people. Do we need to continue to pray to Portugal? Yes. People from my generation don't know anything about God. You have your backgrounds, your history. If you invite children for Sunday school, it's normal, it's part of your culture. We go door to door, we put leaflets, invited children to come to an active, to come to the Sunday school or other things that we can do in the church. Nobody comes. That's the way. It's quite difficult. But God is raising men. Since 2000, in the beginning of this century, we had the privilege to have a Brazilian publisher with good sound books coming to Portugal. That brought some change in our country. Men started to read books, good books, sound books. You know Banner of Truth? It's this kind of publisher. And now we are seeing young pastors coming. People who want to really to know the Word of God. Because you can go to a church and they spend almost maybe 2 hours on a service and there is no preaching of the gospel. And they call themselves evangelicals. So you see, without any background of Christianity, good Christianity, with the openness after the revolution, we didn't have good things coming to our country. We had bad things. So we are still struggling. And we are in need of your prayers, because the country of Portugal needs your prayers. Things are in a condition and in a state of a reformation. I have prayed that God can give us the same joy that you had in the past for reformation. Can you? Who is clicking the next one? Thank you. Okay, where we are? We are in a place called Alentejo. Alentejo is a third of Portugal, and it's a place where there are less evangelical churches. It's one of the less evangelized areas in Portugal. Places without preaching. People who have never heard the gospel contrary to the Bible is present in the large cities, so you can meet people and say, have you heard about this? And they say, no. It's sad, but God is doing something that is amazing. Me and my wife and other pastors and friends and Christians, we have been praying to God to bring the sound gospel. My wish, it's don't change the will of God, but maybe in 10 years, if I have the opportunity to visit you, things will be better. Because we are seeing, as I said, young pastors. Pastors that want to read the Bible. Pastors that want to preach the Bible. And they are making great changes. Alentejo, it's a field very hard to work. In the evening I'm going to speak about a lady that came to the Lord in our church. Just to give you an example, it take 20 years for her to come to the church. There was an elder in our church every year giving a calendar to her. And after 20 years, God brought that woman to our church. We need missionaries. We need missionaries that have patience. perseverance, because how do we contact these people? Friendships, fellowship, you have to know them, you have to speak with them, and it takes time. Portugal is divided in four parts: Algarve, Alentejo, it's the poor part of the country, the center, Lisbon, and other big cities, and in the north of Portugal, Porto. Porto, the north of Portugal, has a lot of people living there. There is a town in the center of Portugal called Fatima. Have you ever heard about Fatima? Yes? On the 3rd of May, this month, and usually every year on May, thousands of people go to there. It's a shrine to Mary. A shrine that you see people on their knees, almost a mile on their knees, just to pay adoration to an image. You speak with a Roman Catholic about God, you read the Bible to them, and they don't accept the Bible. I have been there in Fatima with some teams. I have been there two times. A pastor that is my friend goes there every year. We have thousands and thousands of John Gospel. And it's so sad when you see someone that says that he's a Christian, because the Roman Catholics, they say they are Christians. And you give the word of Jesus to them, and they send the words to the garbage, like that. There is nothing there in their hearts. And to live with this reality, when you come to someone and say, you must believe in God, and they say, the God is the same. You don't need to speak with me, because there is just one God. We adore Him in a different way, but there is just one God. And they close their doors to listen to the true gospel. The church in Sinj, the Roman church, is packed with people. And in all this darkness. So, continue to pray to Europe. When we speak about Europe, because it's a continent that is rich, people go well in their lives, but they are dying and going to hell with no knowledge of the gospel. But thank God that in small portions He's doing something. And I'm going to speak about that in the evening. How God have changed our church. I'm a pastor in Sinj since 98. It's 25 years next year that I'm passing that church. It was a walk of 20 years in the desert. But God was very grateful, good for us. And I can tell you things that God has made in our church in the evening. So thank you very much for this introduction. I'm a little nervous because this is not my area of expertise. It will be the preaching. That's what I love to do, to preach the Word of God. May God bless you. Thank you. Let's open together in the 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, 1-8. For the word of the cross is fully to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that you have all the power. You have the power to put your words in my mouth for your people to understand your words. May we discover how sovereign you are, how you have loved us from all eternity, and that we can rest in your arms, knowing that you are with us. So give us knowledge, a open heart to understand your words. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I would like us to consider a subject of great importance to us as Christians. Something that will bring us to a place of amazingness. We, as Christians, we need to remember that God, our Savior, the one who loves us, is all power. It's amazing when we read how God created the world just with His words. It's also amazing that in the end, all the enemies of God will be destroyed with His words. This is our Almighty God. But do we also are amazed that the word of the cross is the power of God? We need to be brought to this state of amazement. We need to understand the power of God. And this morning, I would like to speak about the word of the cross is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. And in conclusion, take us to Romans chapter 1 verse 16, that states that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Verse 18 that we read here on chapter 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, the word of the cross is the power of God. The power of God. We need to be brought to the cross again. A real understand what happened there will give us a sense of the reality of man before God. And how do the cross do that? First, we must realize that the cross degrades man. The cross is foolishness because it lowers man to his natural state. And what is this natural state of man? Depraved. The cross humiliates both Jews and Gentiles. The cross takes us away from man, takes away from man any boasting, any righteousness, any goodness or quality or power. The cross showed to man the inability to save himself. So, when Paul speaks here about
the cross being the power of God, we must realize that the cross is telling us something. What God has done there with His Son is telling us something that we need to understand. We need to understand that we are sinners. The cross reveals our nature, a sinful being in rebellion with God. Show us our disobedience. There is a hymn that we sing in Portugal that says that it was on the cross that I saw my sins forgiven. So the cross reveals that all mankind before God are sinners. And it is there on the cross that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in Him we might be made the righteousness of God. Paul refers to this in the second letter of Corinthians in chapter 5 verse 21. Remember, my friends, the just paid for the unjust. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we hate God. Yes, we are His enemies. Yes, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, we deserve God's punishment. So the cross tells us that we are sinners and completely lost. That's our state. But there is more. The cross also says to man that he cannot save himself. Because we are sinners, we are lost, separate from the glory of God. In Romans chapter 3 verse 23, we remember these words from Apostle Paul. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The cross is dealing with our sin. And we fell short of the glory of God. I don't know if you remember the conversation of Jesus with the rich man, the young man. In the end of that conversation, there is a talk with the disciples. And they were very astonished. And they said to Jesus, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. So when Jesus goes to the cross, he remembers something there that there is a need of grace, there is a need of mercy, there is a need of love for us to be saved, because it is impossible for us to save ourselves. Even if we are good people, this young man, he said, I do a lot of things, good things. I obey the law. No one, says Paul in Romans chapter 3 verse 20, no one will be declared righteousness in his sight on the basis of the obedience to the law. For it is through the law that we become fully conscious of sin. And Paul goes in the book of Galatians, and he says, before this faith came, we were under the custody of the law, shut up in it, until the faith that was to come was revealed. So the law was our tutor until Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law show us Christ. The law put us walking to Christ. because of our inability to save ourselves. So do remember the cross. The cross is bringing all the glory of God. The cross is bringing all the love of God. The cross makes us cry like this: "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Because the cross is the only thing that will show us that there is deliverance. Deliverance from Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The cross brings our sins to light and humbles us, put us in our rightful place. So Paul has to say this word: the cross is madness to those who are perishing, because it shows that man can only be saved by an act outside of himself, an act of mercy, of grace, of love and justice, and all this in the person on the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, to say the cross is the power of God, we are dealing with things that goes beyond our being. It's something that we cannot do. So the cross brings to our state and our needs of Christ. The cross also exalts God. The cross points to Christ crucified, the only Savior. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. People don't understand. But Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 14, "For be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What is just simply what he's saying is this: I glory in nothing else but Christ crucified as the salvation of my soul. So the cross exalts God, brings glory to God. In the cross, the Almighty God shows us that He is a holy God. God shows us His holiness on the cross by punishing His Son there. And remember, Jesus Christ is not punished for His sins, because in Him there is no sin. But He's punished because of our sins. God hates sin. And on the cross there are our sins there are forgiven, washed and purified. The blood of Christ Jesus cleans us from all sin. That's the power. The cross, this is why the cross is the power of God. The cross also show us the righteousness of God. There was a need for someone to pay our sins. The penalty must be paid. Otherwise, there is no reality of forgiveness if the penalty is not paid. And the fact that Jesus went to the cross and said that He accomplished everything, it is done. We become righteousness in the sight of God because Jesus has done what was needed to pay the penalty of our sins. But the cross also show us the wrath of God. sin is something that God doesn't like. Today we try to put aside that reality. Today we try to bring a gospel without speaking about the wrath of God. Nobody wants to hear about that. Sometimes we behave like the people of Israel. Yes? If you go to Isaiah 30, Isaiah 33:0, in verse 8 we read these words. Do follow the verses, because sometimes my words don't come as supposed to come. And if you follow, you understand better. Verse 8 of Isaiah 30. And now go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusion. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Lead us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. You see the condition of these people. We as humans, we can be able to say this. Do not prophesy to us what is right. Don't tell us why God brought His Son. Don't tell us because we are sinners. We are good people. We are not good people. We need a Savior. And we need to know the truth, because it's the truth that will set us free. It's not illusions. And I speak to you young people that are here. We are living in a world of illusion. It seems that everything will be all right. But it's not will be all right without God. So, remember. And we're going to speak this evening. Remember Jesus Christ. So do remember that God so loved the world that He brought His Son to be on that place, the cross, humiliation, for us to have fellowship, eternal fellowship with God, salvation. To people like us, sinners. Oh, when John Baptist started to preach, he said, repent, because the kingdom of God is coming, has come. And when Jesus started his ministry, he said the same. Repent and believe in me. Nothing has changed. The message of the cross, the power, is the power of God. The second point, let's go to the second point. There was a lot to say more. Just for you to know, usually I preach an hour. So I'm getting there. I'm saying I'm getting there. I have started with 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, now 35. So I will get there on an hour. But go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And go a little further. On verse 24, you read this. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, and now, you see, Christ, what? The power of God. And the wisdom of God. So, there is no salvation in no one else. Jesus is the promise of God. Christ, the power of God. The offspring of David, what we're going to remember this evening. He's the Messiah, he's the Savior. He alone is the way to God. He is the perfect sacrifice, for he is the Lamb of God. So when we speak about the cross, the power of God, we are not speaking about just the cross, but the one who went to the cross. Christ, the power of God. The eternal Son of God. He became flesh. Without sin, he was coming to this world, the Emmanuel, God with us, to save us. So you don't need too much. You don't need to do anything. Because we already, it was said before, we cannot save ourselves. But he came from heaven to earth to save us. And what a precious love. To know that we are saved. My dear friends, nothing and no one compares to the power of God. All the powers and principalities, nations, kings and lords of this world cannot deliver man from the coming judgment. None of them can give you peace, reconciliation with God. There is just one way to go to God, and it's Jesus Christ. And only God, in his majestic power, shown in the gospel, in the message of the cross, in Jesus Christ, can save us. And Jesus is all that. He is a clear demonstration of the power of God. So speak about the cross. Don't be ashamed. Speak about Jesus. Speak about the gospel. You don't need anything more than the gospel to bring men to salvation. Why? And that's our conclusion. The cross is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. And in Romans chapter 1, we read that the gospel is the power of God. Verse 16, of Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and also to the Greek. It all comes back to the Word of God. Do you remember in the beginning that I told you that God created the world through his word? Do you remember in the beginning that I told you that God will destroy his enemies in the end through his word? And it is through the preaching of the gospel, the word of God, that man will be saved. The gospel. Power of God doesn't focus on our experience. Oh, it focuses on what he is. The gospel is one person, Jesus Christ. And he must be preached. Yeah, I can be foolishness to the Greek, the Jews, for the people outside. But I like the the way God do things. Yes? For example, when we say good things, oh, a church, a spiritual church is full of people. And he says, from Revelation, a small church is the one who is alive. Yes? And the other one was full of people, he was dead. Yeah? So, do you remember what it seems to be foolish, how a word can change the heart of someone? It's not our words. It's not our words. It's the word that has created you. He knows everything of you. He has created this earth, the moon, the stars, the universe. And when he speaks, he has all power. So don't be ashamed of the gospel, because this is an instrument. This is a word that don't compare to anything in this world, because this is the word that he said, be light, and light came. And this is the same word that can change the heart of your friends, of your relatives, of your co-workers. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God. Don't be ashamed of Christ, because it's the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the cross, because it's the power of God. May God bless us through his words. Let's pray. Oh God, we come to you knowing that we are so small. Sometimes we don't understand our existence. Sometimes we forget we are what we are, because you have said for us to exist. You are the Lord. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you have all the power to change the hearts of people. You have changed our hearts. We didn't come to you. You came to us. We were dead. We could not see you, love you. But you saw us. You loved us. And you brought us to life. Life in Christ Jesus. The one who gave us peace with you. Through him we have no condemnation. There is no condemnation. So when we come to your words and we listen what you have done for us, there are no words for us to express to come to you. Because you are the reason why we live. You are the reason for tomorrow. Because in you, everything is good. You have made us to see your glory, your holiness, your justice. And we are in love with you. May this love grow more and more in our hearts, that we can also speak about you to the people that surround us every day. You have done beautiful things in this country, and you can still do beautiful things in this country. So Lord, listen to our prayers. When we pray for England, when we pray for Portugal, when we pray for Europe, oh, forgive our sins. Be merciful. Bring to us again the light of Jesus. Bring us again the word of the gospel. Make us soldiers of Christ with no shame of the gospel. Because He, as we have heard, the gospel is your power to save. May your words stay in our hearts, in our minds. May your words be life in us. In Jesus' name, Amen.